Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. We got a guys take episode today where I just talk about whatever I want to talk about. And today I want to talk about the Lightning app that I want to see, the one that I'm waiting for. And I want to bring this up because I think, because I want it. I want the app really bad, and I don't know how to develop it myself, unfortunately. So maybe if I just put this out there, maybe I imagine somebody is already working on something like this. But if not, that's okay. I want to put it out there just to make sure it's known to people. Before we jump into it though, Casa node, you may have seen my post on Twitter, but I'm super excited. I apparently got into the batch of the first 100 Casa Lightning nodes, and like for the orders, and that batch will be sent out. They'll start shipping next week, so I should get that really soon. And I will have a full-on Lightning device set up and running at all times with Bitcoin full node on it. And I will let y'all know how that goes, and I'll play around that. I'll probably do a episode specifically about the Casa node and my experiences with it, and we'll just do a guy's take, and I'll just lay it all out and talk about it. So I'm excited. I'm so excited for that, and I can't wait to tell you guys about it. Now, with the Lightning app, though, so I think the real power of Lightning is going to be when Lightning disappears from the apps. I don't really think a straight up Lightning wallet, like Apple Pay, you don't really open your wallet except in some occasions. And for your banking app, you don't go to your banking app and open it up and look at all the balances and stuff to make a payment to something. You swipe your card, you do your little double tap or whatever it is on your iPhone, you hold your iPhone up to the Apple Pay. So I think the value in Lightning is the fact that payments can get that simple with Lightning. You basically just authenticate, you get the message or you get the data from whoever you're sending payments to, and you authenticate and the payment sends. But one of my favorite apps actually on the iPhone, and this probably, you know, I know encrypted apps, encrypted messaging apps are popular, but who knows if this is a use case for everybody, but I think it would be particularly popular in the geek Bitcoin crypto economy world, is just an encrypted messaging app. I love Signal. I use it all the time, and it's not perfect. It's really simple, but it is just an encrypted messaging app. And I think that would be a great use case for Lightning Network, because an encrypted messaging app serves a role that all the other messaging apps don't do. And we keep seeing again and again that the slightly better, slightly more secure private messaging apps continue to have use cases. And I think the awareness of needing that privacy, the market is still fresh for that. Not only do I think there's still a market for it, I think the pressure is growing for a trust minimized or trustless, however you want to call it, solution to encrypted, uncensorable, or censorship-resistant encrypted messaging. And an alternative to Signal that uses Lightning and has a Lightning wallet in the background, but is first and foremost an encrypted messaging app, I think would be huge. I think with my Bitcoin friends, and like I have like 8 or 9 friends, I guess, somewhere around there, that all use Bitcoin, they all save in Bitcoin. We're We constantly use Square and Venmo to send payments back and forth. You know, one of us will get dinner and then pay the other one back. We had to use it constantly when I was in Switzerland and Venice because I was having problems with my Chase card that I specifically got for its ease of use and no international payment fees and all this crap, and turned out to be a giant headache. So we constantly had to use my sister-in-law's and her boyfriend's cards, and then we would pay them back with Square, which would be the only thing that worked. And of course, I didn't get a Square card. I should have just done that too as a backup. But see, that was the only thing that was actually working for us. And again, they all use, everybody in my little Signal groups use and save Bitcoin. And I know that would be, I know everybody would be on board with that. To pay them back, it'd be a great way to save $10 here, $5 here, $20 there, because everybody treats Bitcoin like their savings. So, you know, I pay them back for a beer and they would just, it would essentially be like turning that one beer into savings for them. And Bitcoin's the perfect thing to have just sitting in an app somewhere for, you know, 6 months. So you come back and you're like, holy crap, I got $200, or who knows if what the price of Bitcoin does in that 6 months, might be even more than that. Just from, you know, paying somebody back six or seven times. And, but to be able to do that in Signal, because a lot, the main use case that I use Signal for, or that I started using Signal for, now I just basically use it to send messages and make phone calls with my brother. We use it more for just general stuff for everybody that uses it. But I originally used it to send like slightly sensitive information, you know, like say I wanted to send somebody my address because they were punching in something online, or I wanted to send my wife a password to some app. We would do it over Signal. Obviously, I would change the password that afternoon. I don't trust it that much, but you know, you set it to 6 hours disappearing messages, so it deletes it, and then you just reset your password that afternoon. I feel secure enough in, you know, an email address or something like that, that if she needed to get into something and we had no other way to send the information, I trust Signal enough to do that. So payment information, that kind of thing, that's what I would send it for, is the slightly sensitive information that I didn't trust sending over open text and or email or something ridiculous like that, where I just knew I'm just posting out there online for anybody to see. But then after that use case, after we started using it for more sensitive information or talking about something that we just didn't want out in the open, it just became the messaging app for a lot of us that's the one we default to. When I'm talking to other people that don't have Signal, I use messages. When I talk to my friends and family members who have Signal, I use Signal. And it doesn't have to do anything else. Like, I just have it sitting right next to my messages, and it doesn't have Lightning integrated. It doesn't have payments integrated, but I still use it all the time because I want to get back a little bit of my privacy, no matter how small amount that it is. And like I said, I think the pressure is building for people who care about that and know that they need to be seeking out alternatives to the basic messaging and social media services. And I think that just pairs perfectly with Lightning. I mean, the Lightning is going to have, you know, basic messaging for at the protocol layer. Not that that necessarily would need to be how messages were sent. In fact, I'd imagine it would probably work fine just as a pseudo centralized service where somebody's offering up a server and people are connecting to that, just like Signal, if you had Lightning payments and stuff embedded in it. But I think it would be something that to some degree would not be too terribly difficult to make encrypted messaging over Lightning. I kind of think that's a no-brainer as a first use case for a microservice. And it's also the perfect place to implement the neighborhood watch idea. Daniel Goldman, bless his heart, actually tags me, and every time he mentions Neighborhood Watch talking to people, he credits me with it on Twitter, which is awesome. Thank you for that. I don't think I've ever heard anybody, I don't think I'd heard anybody use that term or that idea before I did, so I'm definitely calling it as my own, but I don't really believe in intellectual property, so that kind of falls apart really quick. But if you've got a built-in, if you've got a messenger with a group of friends already, what a perfect place. Like, you don't need much incentive to for the Watchtower service. I really don't see it as being, we're talking about a decentralized, only needed when something goes wrong service. That's a perfect thing for just security among your friends, you know? Like, so you do a neighborhood watch where everybody who's online, all your friends who are online, and when somebody else comes online, you're all watchtowers for everybody. And that's any device that's online. And I would love it if, let's say I've got my Signal Lightning app, whatever it is, I would love to be able to sync to my Bitcoin and Lightning node. And however it needs to happen, it should take only a scanning of a QR code to be connected. So like, let's say I set up my Lightning, my Casa Lightning node, and there's just a button that says sync, and it, boom, it pops up a QR code, and I open up my Signal app, and I say sync on my Signal app, sync to a Lightning node, and I scan it, and boom, I'm connected to it, and I put in my authentication, and now I can send and receive payments through my own Lightning node and Bitcoin node. And then by default, anybody who I friend and they friend me back, in my little, you know, social group or contacts manager, whatever it is, in the app, we immediately are offering Watchtower services to each other. It puts a little, you know, just this tiny little bit of skin in the game. Is that like, well, I'm your friend, I can help protect you when you're offline. And I think that's a really easy avenue to solve the problem of the Watchtower without having to create a microservice, because you already got, for every time I go online with anything that I have social media-esque, somebody's online somewhere. And particularly if you've got, you know, your own Lightning node somewhere, and you've got multiple devices that are all synced to the same little communication app. Like, you know, I've got Signal on my desktop, I got Signal on my phone. The same goes there, is that my phone is a backup for my desktop, my desktop's a backup for my phone, and then same with all of my friends and their backups for the Watchtower. You know, you got 30 friends and each of them sends 100 messages, you've got 100 payments, you got 300 payment backups. Until, of course, L2 comes out, and then you've just got 30. You've got one for every user, or every friend that you have. So incentives are just really, really easy in that system, and you have all of that operate by default. And another cool aspect of just having that would be how much I would trust a encrypted messaging app that was created by Bitcoin and Lightning devs. That would just, like, an open source one at that. Maybe that's a vulnerability in and of itself, but to be able to go online and talk with developers about, you know, they'd be completely open and they would publish, you know, attack vectors and where it's secure and where it's not and how best to use it. I would love to be able to see that for, you know, an encrypted app that I use with, you know, Lightning payments. But all the syncing and communication and stuff, I think, needs to happen with QR codes. As far as, like, talking to, like, see, that's one thing people talk about. There's a big problem with people running nodes that they don't use for anything. And I catch myself doing the same thing. My node is not consistently online because I rarely use it. And a lot of times I will check on Blockshare for like my donation address or something. But if I know I'm getting sending out a large payment, I actually do spin up my node and let it sync for, you know, let's say I've got it down for a day or a day and a half. I don't leave it down a lot, but while my computer is doing other things, I don't like, since I'm down to one machine, I'm still getting my CentOS machine and Ubuntu machine figured out. Well, I wiped my Ubuntu, but I'm getting my CentOS machine hooked up. Now that I've got the Lightning node from Casa, or that it's going to be here soon, I'm really excited about that because I can have a dedicated device and leave it on all the time. But right now, practically everything is running on my main computer, and I don't like to have, you know, 18 things running all at once that are all computationally intensive. I don't want to kill my computer. So because of that, I don't use my Bitcoin node a lot, but the biggest reason I don't use my Bitcoin node is because I'm not always on my desktop. I would love, this is another app that I would like to see, and a call out to any of the developers out there who would want to do this. I would love to have like a basic kind of like Blockshare, Block Explorer type thing that was just an app on my phone and an app on my desktop that just had a one click or a scan the QR code talks to my Bitcoin node. Because that's one of the things is like when I'm using my Bitcoin node, I you know, break out Bitcoin Core and type in commands to get transactions and check addresses and all that stuff. And nobody is going to use that in at large scale. But I would love to have a node and talk to it through an interface like Blockshare. And it kind of annoys me, actually, that I wish I had the developer skill to do that, but to just take Blockshare and turn it into an app that I can just talk to my node, request all of the information I want straight from my node from my phone. But none of that is integrated into Bitcoin Core, obviously. It's a absolute skeleton client that doesn't have any bells or whistles or anything. But I would love to have apps that make use of that so that I can talk to it. Because I would leave it on all the time if I knew I could just bring it up on my phone, talk to it without having to type in. And I know you can connect straight to nodes with your wallet and stuff, but I don't want to type in an IP address and a port number and all that stuff. I mean, yes, okay, it's not that hard, but it is annoying. But it's not necessarily about me. It's not about the fact that, even though it is a big indication or a big deciding factor as to whether or not I utilize it, I think it's way, way more of a factor for other people or people who are not technically savvy enough to punch in all the information manually. So making it easy to utilize your node, I think, is the reason, because it's not simple, I think is one of the reasons it doesn't get utilized. You know, your Bitcoin full node, if you can only access it through command line, you're going to get half of the people who can use the command line because half of them are comfortable enough that they'll just do it anyway. And the other half are like, oh, another program that I have to use the command line for. Or at least that's my take on it. That's Guy's take. Ooh, name drop, boom. So, yeah, I honestly think a huge... something that could be hugely successful is just a basic encrypted messaging app with Lightning in the background. Lightning and Bitcoin. I don't think you can have one without the other, really. Because if Lightning ever fails, I think it makes sense to default to a Bitcoin transaction. And obviously, you're sending Bitcoin transaction in a Lightning app anyway. And splicing and all that stuff is important. So they are one and the same. But I think a basic messaging app is a great place to start. And it's one that has a lot of opportunity to branch out or to go other places. And honestly, I believe in that enough that I'd be willing to fund development for it. I would be working on it if I felt confident in the fact that I could actually get it done. But, you know... call out if anybody is actually interested or could develop that and wanted to, I would actually love to talk to somebody about that, to get something like that done if nobody is currently building that. I imagine they are, because the basic messaging is being dealt with on Lightning, and I know encrypted messaging is basically going to be built in to some degree for the Lightning network itself, for like routing information and stuff like that. But I'm interested in one that's more social oriented and is more, you know, send cat pictures or send that cool post that you saw online and talk about it and have a conversation and then, you know, pay for a beer in that same app while you're hanging out downtown or, you know, wherever in a bar. So yeah, that's probably all I wanted to cover. I just thought that that's a really basic app that could make use of a lot of the really cool possibilities of Lightning in a really minimal way. Like, that app would not be a heavy application. And it wouldn't have to do much, but I would immediately be on board and be willing to pay decent money for if I knew it was reliable and would work and was pretty fast. Like, Signal is Signal free? Maybe Signal's not free. I can't even remember. But like, if there was an encrypted messaging app on the App Store right now that was, you know, $10, but it integrated Lightning, had a full Bitcoin wallet that you could sync and talk to your own Bitcoin node or Lightning node with, and but it was, on its surface, it was just a basic private encrypted messaging app, and that was just all kind of in the background or in the settings when you know, look at your wallet in the app. Dude, I would go nuts over it. I would be so excited to think, because I would use it to replace two or three other apps that I use right now. I would essentially replace any time that I could Square and Venmo. I would replace Apple Messages whenever I could. And I would probably use it to share a lot of stuff that I would normally have shared on social media just with a small group of friends. Because I like Twitter and the access to have a public forum to talk about stuff, but I just want to talk about shit with my friends, you know? Like, I don't really care if the whole world is there to see or not. So yeah, that's the basis of the Lightning app that I would be really interested in using and I hope will exist sometime soon. That plus a block explorer. This isn't really a Lightning app, but I'd still really like to have a block explorer that just talks straight to my node. Because I like having a Bitcoin Core node, but it, like I said, it's skeleton client, you know, it doesn't have any of the bells and whistles and features, and I don't want it to. It's core client, you know, I want like a main node, but I would love to have an app that I could just pop up rather than having to open up a browser and go to a URL and ask somebody else's computer. I want to be able to ask my computer, like Blockchair or blockchain.info, whatever block explorer you like, to just have that on my computer, boot up real quick, it talks to my node, and I can look up stuff and see all of the same things in roughly the same form that I'm used to seeing it on a block explorer. And as far as I know, that hasn't happened yet either. So those are two Bitcoin apps, two things that I use a lot, and I feel like both Lightning and or just a Bitcoin app could do a lot to solve issues and incentivize people to have their own node, to take back their privacy and, you know, sovereignty a little bit. And hopefully we get something like that soon. But again, call out to developers if anybody is interested in building that and would like to talk. I would like to talk about it. I would like to see what the possibilities are, how much money something like that would take, and, you know, what kind of time range, how long, how difficult of a project really is that to tackle with what we have with Lightning right now, and, you know, the whole picture. I just don't have enough information or experience on my side to really know the level of depth that takes. So with that, let's go ahead and just close this episode out. If you would like to send me a message or get in contact with me, my direct messages are open on Twitter. And of course, you can check me out on cryptoeconomy.life and send me a message or post a comment up there. Let me know. I am on the Twitter at the cryptoeconomy, Mastodon at the cryptoeconomy, and Medium at the cryptoeconomy. And now I'm on, I think my Instagram is just cryptoeconomy. Oh crap, it's cryptoeconomy guy. Yeah, I definitely used the wrong name. I set it up a long time ago, but you can find me on Instagram at cryptoeconomy guy. I just finally set up and did something with that account that I've been sitting on for a while. We'll see how that goes. I'm not a huge Instagram user, but I'm gonna try to snag that in, add that into my little social media loop here. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes, share, retweet, let everybody know about the Crypto Economy Podcast so they can hear all the best articles and stuff and my discussion and opinions about them, because that's the important part. No. But to hear all the best articles in the crypto economy space about Bitcoin, about cypherpunks, about the technology, about privacy, all of those great things, we cover it all here on the Crypto Economy Podcast. And sharing it and getting that that audio information out to people who don't have the time to sit down and read nearly 200 different articles, this is a great way to get them exposed to that information. So, if you would like to support the show, sharing, tweeting, subscribing, all of those good things are great ways to do that. You can also you can also donate to the podcast. I've got a Bitcoin address posted all over the place. You can find it on cryptoeconomy.life or the show notes of every episode. And any little donation is a huge help. Thank you to everyone who has done that. And you can also buy your treasure through my affiliate link. That'll send a couple of bucks my way. Won't cost you a dollar, but you'll be helping out the show. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a Guy's Take episode on the Crypto Economy Podcast. Take it easy, everybody. We'll be right back.